Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. Tracy Watts Serino, welcome to the conversation today.
I'm so excited to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to be with you. You're joining us from the Cleveland, Ohio area. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about how we can align our purpose with a compelling vision and how that can lead to success within organizations. I think we all know that purpose matters. We all know that vision matters. We all know that alignment matters. It's easier said than done sometimes, and we often easily get distracted by other things that can cause mission drift and purpose and vision drift and all these sorts of things that can, you know, we might start with alignment, but then shift towards misalignment over time. So this, I think, will be a really fun conversation. As we get started, I wanted to share Tracy's bio with everybody. Tracy Watts Serino is a 5-time number one international best-selling author, award-winning business owner, highly engaged, empowering speaker, and podcast host of Beyond Common Business Secrets. Tracy is passionate about helping people become successful entrepreneurs and reach their highest potential. Through her dynamic keynotes, retreats, workshops, digital training programs, and mastermind groups, Tracy helps business owners and leaders discover their own personal power so they can develop customized success systems. I could go on, Tracy, but I'm going to pause there. Anything else you would like to highlight by way of your background or personal context before we dive on into the conversation?
I just was going to say, wow, thank you. It's just so funny when someone else is like reading your bio. Like, I'm like, oh, that she sounds great. I want to meet her. It's just hilarious. Like, because you never see yourself that way. So thank you for welcoming me. It's just funny that way. I always feel that. And I think the same thing happens on my show when I'm, you know, reading someone else's intro. The only thing I would add is that all of this happens because of always going back to that alignment piece, like just how you were saying, like we go off and then we're coming back. So there are so many times that when things were going really wrong, it's like, what's wrong? And you forget, like you just go unconscious for a little bit, like the awareness is missing. And then we're always having to bring that back. I think the number one thing that I suffered from early on in my first few businesses is not trusting my leadership voice, like thinking I had to, you know, oh, there was this new business book that said you have to do it this way. And it was continuously causing me to think I had to fix something within myself. And that does not portray the leadership confidence that at the time my team really needed. So I think it's one of those things that when we understand that it is a process and we're all learning and growing and it's never going to be perfect, you kind of have to just like give yourself that space to be vulnerable and say, hey, I don't have it all figured out. We're kind of doing this together. I have a vision. I have a compelling vision and I know what type of impact I want to make in the world. And it's like, whoever aligns with that, let's go along for the ride.
Yeah. I think that's a challenging thing that a lot of people face, right? Because there's a lot of imposter syndrome when you're in leadership roles, because there's a lot of weight on you, a lot of people relying on you, and you want to convey confidence. And so sometimes you feel like you're faking it till you make it, or you're trying to portray, you know, yourself in an overly confident way more than you actually are. So there's that dynamic that's constantly happening, mixed with just the, you know, I think any good leader is constantly trying to learn, grow, and develop themselves. And so, like you said, like reading new books, talking to people, getting coaching and mentoring and those sorts of things, all of that happens. And so on the one hand, you got to stay true to yourself and trust in yourself and be confident to your leadership voice, like you said, while also, you know, balancing that with the imposter syndrome you're feeling, with the coaching you're receiving, to the other outside influences that are, you know, you know, in your head around what you could or should be doing. That's not an easy thing to balance sometimes, I think.
No, you're absolutely right. Recently in my company, we've been working on this a lot. We have a newer program that's called the CEO Power Code, and really, really dive in to that inner voice. When you really align it with your true purpose, not what everyone expects you to show up as in the world, not what you've been told you were good at, not what even is going to be a great product. It's layers under that. When you are really in alignment with that sense of purpose, it does eliminate so much of the distraction, because it's almost like the fact that you suffer imposter syndrome shows that you care. Yeah. If you meet a leader that has never suffered that, no offense, but they're probably a jerk. They're probably self-centered, egotistical, and God bless them, they'll figure it out someday. But the thing is that people sometimes throw that word around about imposter syndrome, and it's like, it honestly is like that protection of letting you remember that you care and you're not in this alone. You know, it's about serving. And it's really interesting because even as you get more clear on this, it's like, sometimes it's that shift of, you know, not falling so in love with this one product that you have, but so in love with serving the client and how you're going to get them a win, that your products will change and evolve over time. I mean, I know mine have. I'm in a completely different industry than I was 10 years ago, you know, and at the time I didn't know I would ever leave. Right. It's a step, you know, it's not that you're like leaving it behind. It's just like, you're stepping into something new. But when you are really in alignment with knowing, what that purpose is, that it's much easier to cut yourself some slack on those days that imposter syndrome is like creeping in like hot and heavy.
I agree. We've all known leaders who never seem to have any level of self-doubt, which I don't think is healthy. That just means there's a lot of ego and arrogance involved. And we need to have intellectual humility to be effective leaders. Like, we have to constantly be self-reflecting and asking ourselves, you know, how things are going and if we're doing things well and what we can do to improve. And if we feel like we're always kind of doing things right, that's a problem. one time, this was a couple of years ago, but I was at a panel. I was an attendee at a panel, and there was a group of executives, and the topic had moved towards like ethical leadership and ethical dilemmas in leadership. And one of the CEOs was asked for an example of a time they faced an ethical dilemma and how they responded to it. And the leader responded, "I've never faced an ethical dilemma in my life." And I was blown away.
I just had a mini heart attack.
About a red flag. as soon as that was said, I'm like, oh my goodness, this person is fairly clueless. So to your point, like, yeah, we need to have a certain level of like humility in our leadership. Otherwise, we are not going to be effective. And there needs to be authenticity in that humility. And people will appreciate the vulnerability that we show through that humility. Couple that with we have confidence in what we're trying to do and what our vision is, but also recognizing, yeah, we don't have all the answers. I don't know, like, we're building the plane while we're flying it. I don't know how to do this, but let's come together to do this together. And you bring people along with you. That's compelling. And that's what people want to be a part of.
Yeah. That's one of those things too. Like, if you are facing a situation, you know, even if you're serving on a board, a volunteer thing, in addition, where you come across somebody that would answer that way on the panel about an ethical dilemma, it's kind of like refreshing too. Like, it's like an experiment where you're like, oh wow, okay. Sometimes you learn what not to do, and that's actually the best thing to do. I always say that sometimes the worst leaders I ever had or situations were actually my biggest teachers. Of okay, well, sure. If I just do the opposite of that, like, there might be success. So sometimes it is just like that strong contrast makes you realize, wow, you know what? I really am doing a good job, because I don't have it right every day, but my people trust me and they know they can come to me. And at the end of the day, they respect me enough to do, you know, what is the best thing for us right now. But not just be yes people, because I don't think we can really grow and elevate as a company if our leader is stuck in like tunnel vision of this is the way we do it here. And it's only done this way. Like, you're only going to grow as big as your leader is comfortable growing and developing. It's just like, they put a lid on the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So we've talked about alignment. So hopefully we have a compelling purpose and a compelling vision. We're communicating that well. We understand it. We communicate it well to our people. We surround ourselves with people who are aligned with that compelling purpose and vision. You just highlighted, though, again, another tension is that we want alignment, but rigidity is not the answer to alignment. Right. And so sometimes that's the response that people have when they start to see misalignment happening. They start to see drift of some sort, that they kind of double down towards kind of this really rigid approach, which all that does is stifle. It stops growth. So I'm wondering, you know, we've kind of hinted around this, but this alignment issue can be challenging. How do we go about finding alignment and maintaining and sustaining alignment without falling into the trap of like dogma, rigidity, and some of those things that are going to hurt us in the long run?
I often look at this like there's like two sort of life dances. Like, you look at like in yoga where you have to have resistance and fluidity, right? Or a beautiful dance. There's steps, but you need to be having fun while you do it. You can even look at some of the athletes that just were in the Super Bowl, right? Like, they have that exact confidence in what they're doing, but, you know, sometimes it's off. You know, the thing is that you set out with that mission, but then you almost surrender to it. So you leave this space for a little bit of curiosity to take flight. And I think that's how every company gets its true momentum, right? Because when we're just like, And you were saying this stuff about being really rigid. Like, I had went the whole opposite way at one point, you know, first had no mission vision. And it felt like one of my mentors, Jack Canfield, always says, don't secure your ladder to the wrong building. And I'm like, oh, been there, done that. And it was like, okay, you get to that top of the mountain where you're like, okay, I've achieved all these awards. I did all these things. And I still felt like I didn't feel good. Is this it? Is this really all there is? You know, it was because I forgot to put myself into the picture. I wasn't true to my own sense of purpose of what I wanted. And this is something that it's not set it and forget it. This is an area where I think you need to be working with a trusted advisor, you know, like have somebody in that role on your team, or this is when you do need to reach out and get a coach and a consultant. Somebody that is willing to have this difficult conversation with you, that they'll ask you the question repeatedly, like, what do you really want? Like, that's one of the ways that I get people there. And to the point that you're so annoyed with me that you've answered it 15 times that you, like, you know, I almost make you so angry you want to hit me. And then the truth actually comes out in that moment. So you have to hire or employ, you have to employ these people on your team, or you have to get outside resources of people that are hired to be those people, you know, like myself, like you, that we're allowed to go in the no-fly zone because we're there with a purpose to help you next level, both yourself and your business. I don't think you walk into every room and just give away that sort of power. You know, you want to walk in confident, but if you do the work in private, it shows up with absolute confidence in public.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we've highlighted some of these tensions. It sounds straightforward and easy. Everyone knows we should have alignment. We should have purpose. We should have vision. But sometimes living that, you know, we can have missteps and we can get out of alignment pretty easy. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Like, what are some of the things that you have done either in your own career or as you're coaching, mentoring others and helping them to address it? Like, once you're in misalignment, like what are some of those things that you can start to do to get back towards alignment?
When I was in misalignment and most recently, one of my clients that was really feeling like she was not in alignment with her business anymore. What I did was, okay, let me just take a couple of deep breaths and step back. So what I did in my business was I appointed the strongest leaders I had at that time to sort of be empowered to have higher responsibility. So I could step away and do some reflecting. Like I did a leadership retreat and dove deep on, hey, I just kind of felt like I was failing as a leader. And that to me was my, you know, my responsibility to get that right. I don't think I actually knew I was in misalignment. I think it was going to that retreat that allowed me to hold that mirror up and really realize. And most recently I had a client that was, had a really successful business and she was doing really well. And she hired me to help her like systematize some things within her business to make sure her marketing was on point and just to give her more confidence to show up as, you know, the best leader that she could be. And what was discovered was that she had really not wanted to be in this business any longer. So we forged a plan over 18 months to grow it to, I think it was like $2.3 million and sold it. And now she is doing something totally different. So you can figure out a way to find your joy, peace of purpose within where you are. Or you can do that and then, you know, shed your wings and do something totally different. Like nothing's keeping you stuck. You just have to do the work.
Yeah. And it can take courage to do that work. Because again, it takes vulnerability. It takes humility, especially for someone who's a type A, high achieving, you know, someone who's used to having success, to be able to like acknowledge that maybe things aren't going the way they really should, despite whatever success you may be having. You might be getting accolades. Right. You might be winning awards. People might, you know, think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, but you still have the courage to like step back and say, you know, not drink the Kool-Aid and like step back and say, you know, is this really where I should be, where I want to be? Am I willing to make the hard choices that might, at least in the short run, you know, result in me not getting all those accolades? Maybe I'll look like someone who's a failure, or, you know, we have this obsession with celebrity, which, you know, often we talk about movie stars, musicians and such, but we have celebrity around leaders and CEOs. And so I think a lot of that obsession with celebrity also can cross over, and people who are high profile leaders and organizations can feel many of those same things and feel like, well, you know, I've had all the success up to this point, but if I do this, it's going to signal that maybe I'm not so sure about what I'm doing, or that I'm admitting failure or whatever. And all of that can be really hard to do.
Absolutely. That is, I think, some of the hardest stuff that I've personally had to go through. And I also think that those are the moments that have built the most courage. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you just have to be honest with yourself that if something feels off, like you don't have to have like, you just know, like, well, when you're taking the time to reflect on, hey, did it feel good to have this award? Did it feel good? Or was it more fun when you were like in the trenches struggling and for some reason, none of the clients got your emails and nobody showed up at the event you threw? I mean, what, there's a million things, right? Was that more fun figuring out a way to like get the room filled with clients that day? Who knows, whatever it is. But the thing is that you have to like sort of put some type of, I think, like ritual in place. A lot of things that are good to start with are just like having a morning routine that you get clear on what you're like 3 to 5 goals are for the day, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, having an evening routine like, oh, this happened. Did it feel good? Okay, well, maybe I didn't like how I showed up. I snapped at her. And that was not the energy I wanted to be in. I was actually hungry, a little hangry. And okay, so tomorrow I'm going to eat a meal that has more protein before I work that many. So there's many things that allow you to be a better human and then be a better leader, right? It affects every part of our life, not just the job, the title, the celebrity of I own this, I'm the CEO. it also makes you just a kinder human. Oh, I'm really sorry I snapped at you, Sally. What I really meant to say is I'm so hungry. Are you hungry? This is really what we have to work on today. You know, whatever it is. And it's the same thing when we go home. We don't take that stress home with us. Like we held it in all day and didn't want to blow up on any out of our employees, but then we blow up on our partner or our family. You know, it's like, we got to find ways to release that, right? Because no one's expecting perfection. You just have to own those parts of yourself where, yeah, you know what? Today I could have been better. And I just envision what it would have looked like going better. And by sort of, I don't know, osmosis, it kind of happens where you get more of what you envisioned by being clear that, okay, that wasn't exactly in alignment with who I want to be. But this is how it would play out for me if I was truly showing up as the best version of myself, the best leader I can be. And I just imagine it. And then, you know, the next thing happens. That's a lot of it. It's kind of those little shifts because the work itself is very simple. It's very simple, right? It just is not easy because you have to continue. And sometimes we see stuff within ourselves that we don't really like and we don't want to face it.
Yeah. Holding up the mirror in front of us can be a painful thing sometimes. And again, despite best intentions, the consistency required of doing what you're saying, it's not rocket science. It's not hard per se, but it's not easy because it requires intentionality and consistency. And we all know human beings aren't always the greatest at those things. So we have to really, you know, focus on that. And I like how you identified the importance of ritual, because ritual is one of the best ways that we can just get into that pattern of doing it on a consistent basis. And consistency is really key in what it's all about.
That one of the best ways that I suggest for almost all of my clients when we're getting started is pair it with something you already love. Like if you do coffee or tea, okay, that's the time. Enjoy that beautiful sip of tea. That's the moment you're writing down your goal because you're doing that anyway, right? And most of us are brushing our teeth at night. I mean, I hope you are. That's the time to sort of do the evening review. Like think it through. You know, you don't have to write it down unless you make time and you want to, but you can attach it to stuff you're already doing. Then it just makes it easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tracy, this has just been a great conversation. I know at the time I need to let you go here in just a minute.
Sure,
before we wrap things up for today, I just wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, your team, and then give us a final word on the topic for today.
So I am Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y. My dad said Tracy was always spelled with an E. That was just what he always said. So I'm Tracy Watts Serino everywhere. And I have a little gift for, I have a gift for you guys. And that is at beyondcommoncoaching.com/strategies. It's just a really amazing checklist of how you can put some of this like time-saving strategies into place that are also that self-love and nourishing. It always leads back to us being in alignment with the purpose. So I have a gift for you that you can share with the audience. And the thing is that the biggest takeaway with the purpose piece is we don't have to make it heavy. It needs to be fun. Like John, I so loved and enjoyed having this conversation with you. It was very fun. We're talking about purpose and things that, but we don't have to take it very serious. I think when we can put that fun and curiosity into it, and hey, if you have one purpose today and it evolves and changes, it's okay. I think that heaviness of, oh, I have to get purpose right is actually where we kind of fall down. So I think if you can just kind of have fun with it and let it evolve into whatever it needs to be, but it needs to be taken into account before you just start running around doing a million things, because that will burn you out, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Tracy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what Tracy can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe. They can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.